Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick 'em slip, get every pick right, and take home some cold, hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.
Happy anniversary! 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 Happy anniversary!
We'll be right back. upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
What's up, guys? It's the phenomenal AJ Styles. You're listening to the two-man power trip.
Hey, Johnny. Cool, man. What's going on? We ready to go or what?
Welcome to the two-man power trip of wrestling. We host JP John Paz with me today. Former WWF World Tag Team Champion. He's a WWE Hall of Famer. He's an NWA Tag Team Champion. He's a TV champion. I mean, he's done it all in the business. An absolute legend. He is Mr. Tully Blanchard.
NWA Hall of Fame, too.
Yes, NWA Hall of Fame. Yes, he's Mr. Tully Blanchard. Welcome back to the two-man power trip. How you doing?
I am doing great. Merry Christmas to everybody. 3 days ago. And hope everybody is getting ready for a very happy new year.
Yes, definitely. And of course, this is the 8th anniversary of the show. Somehow been doing this for 8 years now. You've been one of the best guests, so I had to bring you back. One of my favorites, so I had to bring you back for the 8th anniversary.
Time flies. It is crazy that it's been 8 years. Congratulations on 8 years.
Thank you. You probably won't remember this, or maybe you will. About 5 years ago, you took me out to Topgolf, and we played some Topgolf with your son-in-law. It was fun.
Oh, wow. In Charlotte.
Yes.
Fun, fun, fun.
Yeah, it was good stuff. You're a pretty good golfer. I know you mentioned you were golfing before. You're a pretty damn good golfer.
Well, I can be good some days, and I can be pretty stinky some days.
I got you. So what's going on in your world, though? What have you been up to?
Just working. We've got events coming up at the Bexar County Jail. We got events. I just work at the church, at Cornerstone Church, and the director of jail and prison ministry. And then I'm also the pastor for the what we call prime singles, which is 50 to 65-year-olds. And I was asked to do that last year. So I've been doing it for 1 year. And all things are growing. All things are getting bigger. And things that are growing and getting bigger are usually being successful.
Absolutely. So what about
just
wrestling?
Like your show, 8 years?
Yeah, yeah.
When you started, how many people viewed your first podcast? To how many people are watching your podcast now?
Yeah, it's true. Probably times 1,000 when it first started, or times 5,000 or whatever when it first started. Yeah, absolutely. Very true.
So that's exciting.
Yes, definitely. So what have you been up to wrestling-wise? Anything going on in the wrestling world?
Well, I'm no longer with AEW or Ring of Honor or any subsidiaries thereof. That sounded pretty legal, didn't it?
Yeah, very.
And so I would imagine that my wrestling career is probably over, other than doing autograph shows and things like we did in Nashville. Although I don't know how many retirement matches, last matches Flair can have, so.
What'd you think about that? What'd you think about Flair's last match?
I didn't see it and wasn't there.
Ah, damn. I would have thought you would have been there for, I know you were there that weekend, but I would have was surprised you weren't at the show itself.
Well, the show was on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to be at my day job.
Right. Okay. Makes sense.
The one that pays all my bills.
Yes. Gotcha. I gotcha. So what did you think about just him doing it? I mean, 73 years old, obviously, you know, he's way past his prime, but what do you think about Flair actually wrestling?
I would probably not comment on that.
Okay.
Because I probably don't have a lot of positive to say. And I personally would prefer my last match. Unfortunately, AEW talked me into one. But before that, most of my matches, I think I only wrestled like maybe 6 or 7 times after my full-time career. And people's memories are of me or me and Arn or me and the Horseman from back in those days when I could actually do it. And I can't do it anymore. I couldn't do it. I was asked to do a last match with Ricky Steamboat. And I'm not going to embarrass myself and go out there and not be able to do what I used to do. Just watch the videos.
Hmm. Plus, you don't want to get hurt either, right? I mean, you don't want to get hurt out there.
I hurt bad enough now. Already doing it.
But you're in pretty good shape, though.
Well, I work out hard 5-6 days a week, and but mostly that is just to be able to get up out of bed. And I watched a couple of matches with maybe 4 or 5 months ago. I watched a match with Arn and I against the Rockers, Madison Square Gardens.
Awesome.
Oh my gosh.
You guys were the best.
My mouth dropped open that I actually got up and down that many times in one match. And it was like that every night.
You and Arn were bumping machines, yeah, and selling machines, yeah.
And so no wonder at 68 years old, my friggin' hips hurt and my knees hurt and my back hurts and my shoulder hurts. And I am fortunate to be able to shoot in the 80s on the golf course.
Pretty good. Very good, actually. So you mentioned not being with AEW Ring of Honor. Is that just the contract is up? You're just done. Like the contract's over and you moved on.
No, it was a little more complex than that, but my contract is up and I'm gone.
Do you think that, like when you said they kind of asked you to do the last match, talked you into it, do you think that it turned out well? Because I thought that was a pretty good match. It was obviously 6-man tag, but I thought that was a pretty good match.
With,
Marco Stunt,
Jungle Boy. And Marco took the absolute greatest slingshot suplex of anybody alive. Anytime. Yeah. It was awesome. And it made me look better than I am. And everything else was good. And we got through it. And I didn't need to do that anymore.
Pretty cool though. FTR, who obviously loves you guys, got to team with you. I mean, that's pretty cool.
FTR is FTR, and they are doing well and making lots of money, and God bless them.
They obviously pattern a lot of stuff off of you guys. You could just tell they pattern, which is great. A little bit of an homage to Arn and yourself.
Well, it is. I would like to say that you really can't duplicate what Arn and I did, just by the nature of what the business is nowadays. And I am very much I never went to the ring and knew what I was going to do. And that's why I could respond to the audience. That's why Arn could respond to the audience. And we did it in such a manner that we flowed. And I probably am too archived for what the business is today.
Do you think that's a thing that like today's wrestler, this generation, is kind of missing? Because it seems like a lost art being able to just call on the fly and not know what you're doing ahead of time.
It's very much of a lost art. And, but, you know, that's just, it's only my opinion. I mean, the thing about the wrestling business is it survived many, many years, many, many people, people that worked like we did, people that didn't work like we did, big stars, medium stars, bigger stars, and professional wrestling will survive and will continue to go on. And that's the exciting thing of it. Selfishness, I just want autograph shows to keep going and people to keep bringing me to the to the autograph shows.
Right, right. And bring the horsemen back together for another ride or two. Yeah. But to me, when you were with FTR, just kind of a perfect compliment, because they love the old school. Not necessarily a lot of other guys do. I mean, they go kind of a completely different direction. But FTR seems to love, like, the old school guys.
Yeah.
Midnight Express, yourself, even like the Heavenly Bodies, they seem to like, you know, the old school tag teams. Not necessarily some of, I don't know, some of the flippity-floppity stuff you see a lot of the other guys do.
Right.
Not that it's necessarily a bad thing. It's just kind of wrestling I like, you know what I mean?
It is what it is, and they are, FTR is probably the best tag team in wrestling today, and you know, Arn and I were the best tag team in wrestling back then, and you can't put the two against each other.
When I see not them, but like other teams and other wrestlers, I always think, like, when there's a screw up in the match back in the day, you could kind of can't tell because you guys can go in different directions. Nowadays, it's almost like they have to rewind and then try to figure out, you know, where they're going from there. It's like, I don't know. You guys were so much easier adaptable because you're paying attention to the crowd. You don't know where you're going necessarily. So if there's a screw up or something, it doesn't matter. You just keep going.
Well, I don't watch very much of it nowadays. I haven't watched very much of it for 30 years. And so it is, when I was with AEW, I didn't watch a lot of it. I paid attention to what we were doing, but I didn't pay attention to a lot of what other stuff was. And so, it's very difficult for me to step into the 2022 version versus the 1988 version, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you enjoy your time in AEW? Like, did you enjoy being back in the business? Because you said, like, you're kind of away from business, not really watching. Did you enjoy your time there?
Yes, I did.
Would you ever return to them or any sort of wrestling organization? Or are you kind of, like you said, I'm kind of done?
I am probably done. I doubt that AEW would have me come back. I doubt that WWE would have me come back, and where else would you go except those two places?
What do you think, like, as far as when, like, you were there, was there a lot of guys asking you for advice and stuff, or not really?
Not at all.
Oh, really? I'm surprised. You would, I know, you would think that they would be asking, like, ours, guys like you and Arn.
Yeah, but you got to understand, those guys weren't born when me, when Arn and I were, they really didn't know who Arn and I were.
Wow. Kind of surprising. You know, just if you're going to be a historian, you got to, you know, maybe go back, watch some tape. It's out there, YouTube, the network, you know what I mean?
Well, I don't know.
Huh. Were you kind of expecting that, or just it is what it is? You didn't really expect one thing or another out of that?
It just is what it is.
See, they got to go back and they got to watch, you know, the Horsemen. They got to watch you and Magnum. You know what I mean? They got to study the business, learn, you know, maybe not steal, but, you know, take a thing from here and there. What's old is new again. Imagine getting the heat that you would get nowadays. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you would think a guy would want to aspire to kind of be like Tully Blanchard, getting all the heat back in the day.
Well, they need to have you talk to them then, maybe.
Hey, okay, call me up. I'll talk to him. I'll convince him. With the Horsemen, and obviously, you know, talking about heat and stuff. And I was just watching the Ric Flair documentary, which is on Peacock, and, you know, talking about the original Horsemen and how really when it came to national prominence and you guys were, you know, killing things. Obviously, WWF was on another level. You guys were over here at the NWA dominating another level. What was it like being a part of the Four Horsemen? Just because it's one of the things where it's hard to kind of think and even fathom, like, this faction, this group, these four guys coming together, dominating the wrestling scene like we've never seen before.
Well, I mean, we had never seen before. And so you really didn't understand what was happening as it was happening. You know, we just went out each night and tried to entertain the people the best we could. Rick did on his part. Arn and I did on our part. Barry did on his part. And when Arn and Ole were the tag team, they did on their part. And I was the other single, and we did it. And we just tried to entertain the people the best we could, as we did before the Horsemen or after the Horsemen.
Was that your favorite incarnation of the group?
The best incarnation was the group that got into the Hall of Fame.
With Barry.
Yes.
But now
when you have the most talent in your group, you can do more things, and Barry was hands down as good as anybody that's ever put on boots in this business. Flair was one of the greatest, if not the greatest, world champion. And Arn and I were whatever wrestling fans from that era would talk about me and Arn. But we were all together, and it was the best group, and it was the right group to take to the Hall of Fame.
It's probably, well, it's definitely the greatest, like, four workers as far as wrestlers put together, for sure. That's your favorite, too, or not necessarily your favorite, it's just the best?
Oh, no, it was the best and my favorite. I mean, it was great to be part of the group, period. And we just, when you wrestle every night someplace, you don't have time to think about what you're doing. You just jump on an airplane, go somewhere else, and hit replay.
How is Barry doing? Have you checked in? I know he had a big health scare recently.
Yes, he was. He's doing much better. I have texted with him back and forth a couple of weeks ago until he was out of the hospital, and he's doing much, much better, and hope to see him in the near future.
one of the best. Definitely one of the best. And you think about it, you take Ole and you move Luger out of the Horseman, you put him in, and the group gets better. It's pretty amazing just to think about Barry.
Absolutely.
And can't forget your buddy JJ either. Important, integral part of the group. Can't forget JJ.
Oh, absolutely. James J. Dillon.
Yes, your boy. Yeah. Little Tully Blanchard Enterprises, little JJ Dillon. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So when you just look back at just at your career in general, what would you say is like the legacy of Tully Blanchard when you look back?
Don't really know. I mean, it's difficult to take away the horseman aspect, but there were huge successes before that. When I went to work for Crockett the second time in 1984, and their business wasn't doing very well, and Wahoo and I wrestled Flair and Mulligan in a bull rope strap match that turned the company around and turned the business around. And it was pretty remarkable. And then a couple of years later, you've got the horseman thing that just got put together and exploded.
And the horseman, you and Baby Doll, your feud with Magnum TA, your feud with Dusty, so many memorable moments in your career. Then you go to the WWF as the Brain Busters, you win the tag titles. Like you mentioned, great matches with the Rockers. Just a great, great career you had. And of course, like I said before, you're a heat magnet. You were one of the best heels in the business, no doubt about it. I think people liked Flair. They definitely didn't like you. You know what I mean? Like there was a there was some hatred there from those fans.
They weren't supposed to like me.
Exactly. Yeah.
Flair was such a likable guy.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yes. You're almost like either jealous of him or like, oh man, you kind of want to be this guy. You know what I mean? He's one of those guys. You were like, oh man, I hope Magnum gets this guy. I hope Dusty gets this guy. Yeah, but it worked. It worked. That's where he's supposed to be. It worked.
Absolutely.
So, as far as anything like appearances, do you want to put any social media out there where people can reach out?
Am not signed up for any. I know that there's been some negotiations about the WrestleMania weekend in Los Angeles, about going out there with my daughter, Tessa. But anything other than that, it's kind of how the next year starts, and we'll see what people can do. I hope that I get out there a few weekends, but that's the guys that do the autograph shows, like your contemporaries.
Yes. So they would reach out to you through Instagram or what do you?
No, they can actually contact you.
Okay. Oh, perfect. Yeah. I'll handle that. Yeah. No problem. Is Tessa back in the business or is she staying away from the business? Because it looks like you said that she's doing some signings. Is she coming back in? I think she was going to school, right?
She is going to school. And I hope that she stays there and gets her degree. But it is this business is enticing. And but it is extremely important to get your education.
Yep.
And be able to fall back on that, because you can't wrestle except for Flair, until you're 70.
Right. Very true. Hey, she was one of the best female wrestlers in the business when she was rock and rolling. So hopefully she gets back into it. I'm hoping.
Well, she can do it on the weekends and still go to school. So we'll see what the future has for her.
Yes, we'll hopefully see you in and around the business somewhere, conventions or not. So hopefully we'll see you. But Tully, thank you so much for all the time. I really appreciate it. And thank you for celebrating.
And thank you, sir, for 8 years of faithfulness of doing this podcast every week. And hopefully we'll both be around. And at 16 years, we'll have the same interview again.
All right, perfect. Sounds good to me. Thank you so much.
Bless you, John.
Welcome to the Two-Man Power Trip of Wrestling. I'm your host, JP John Paz. With me today, returning guest, one of my favorite guests of all time, if not my most favorite. He's, of course, a WWE Hall of Famer, WCW Tag Champ, NWA Tag Champ, TV Champ. I mean, you name it, he's done it all. Double A, Mr. Arn Anderson, the Enforcer. Welcome back. How you doing, Double A?
Well, thanks for having me back again. It's great to see you, young man. Trust the world is treating you well.
Yes, very well. How about you? What's going on in your world?
Well, we work for AEW, and we're under contract right now. There's a full roster. It's hard to get everybody on TV every week, and we understand that. So Brock and I are going to reach out and go visit some schools and Dr. Tom's and, our school, obviously, that Billy Gunn and company are masterminding down there, QT in Atlanta. And we're going to do some independent stuff and some signings, and we're going to try our best to stay busy until they give us the call, and hopefully we'll be ready.
Love it. Of course, this is the 8th year anniversary show. I wanted to bring you on, one of my favorite guests, easily. So it was one of those things where it's like, wow, this is perfect. 8th year anniversary. You always said if there's an anniversary coming up to bother you and to bring you on. So, hey, that's what I'm doing. So it's perfect for me to bring you on for this.
Well, I am honored, sir, and congratulations. Not many people can say they've sustained a podcast for 8 years. That's incredible. You must be a pretty decent guy to talk to, huh?
Sometimes, I think. Yeah, hopefully, anyway.
So what else is new, anything?
Not much. I feel like the wrestling world has been, you know, pretty quiet, but then it ramps up, like the Vince stuff happens, or, you know, the Punk stuff happens. It's like one of those things where sometimes it ramps up, then it slows down. It's like a roller coaster ride, the business.
Well, it's like nobody really gets interested till there's a bunch of negative news, and then everybody seems to perk up. I just refuse to, you know, buy into that. I don't want to join in. There's nothing worse than a guy that's had a hell of a career and, you know, is still, you know, walking at least, limping maybe, but he's not in a wheelchair, that suddenly gets bitter about the business. And I just, you and I've talked, you know, I'm just, business doesn't owe me anything. I owe this business everything. And getting to meet guys like you and be on your show and just talk wrestling and have fun in the past, it was awesome. And we did, you know, a couple of appearances together. It's a wonderful world.
It's funny you were mentioned bitter. Your buddy, or, you know, your cousin or your brother, I mean, whatever you want to call him, Ole. And I remember a few years ago when we were doing a signing, I said, I'm going to give him a call. You're like, all right, give it a shot. And he was not happy about, like, I'm not doing anything, you know, screw this. But weird, like a guy like that bitter about the business, because everything you hear, he made so much money from the business and he did so well. You know, I guess some guys are just old bitter codgers, I guess, you know, sometimes. Yeah,
you know, he made a couple of fortunes before the Horseman thing ever came up, when he was the boss, part owner in Atlanta, and he's working with Barnett. I mean, the guy's got 7 kids and a huge home, and he made a ton of money way back before he started making money, you know, with the gig we had. So, you know, I guess it's more of a health-related thing. I know that I've always been healthy enough to pretty much do anything I wanted to during the day. But as you get older, man, I'm 64, and it's getting harder, and when your low back goes out, it stays out, you know, and you need more sleep and all this stuff. It's just like as the time passes by, you realize, you know, you'll never be young again, I guess now. And part of that, I think, is Ole. I mean, he was a guy that was very physical in the ring, worked out in, you know, weight room. And to have that taken from you probably would make you a little bitter. Not giving him a excuse to be so grumpy. Because everywhere I go and do signings, and you know this, one of the biggest and most asked questions, what's Ole doing? Is he ever going to do one of these with you guys? The fans want to see him.
Yeah, absolutely. Imagine him in a Horseman reunion.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess, you know, it's his choice, you know. But be nice maybe one day, just to, even if you only had one or a couple, you know, it would be nice.
Yeah, I know he's got obviously health-related issues, which you'll probably not want to make him do it anyway, but he was grumpy before that, well before that.
Yes, yes.
So speaking of the Horsemen, what is your favorite and what is the best? So there's two, or maybe it could be the same, of the pairing of the Horsemen.
I don't think it doesn't matter what it is. A first, when you have a first at something, it's really hard and almost impossible to top that. And I think the first with Ole, that version of the Horseman, was very special. The most functional was with Barry, because Barry just was the all-around cowboy, and he stepped right in that slot. He was such a great performer and such a great talent, and such a fun guy to be around. He was just the opposite of Ole, you know? Right. So I would have to say, with no turning back, those two. And there was a lot of baby faces on the other side of the ring that were glad that combination was together, because they never looked better in their life.
How is Barry nowadays? Have you talked to him?
I just hung up with Tony Hunter, who you know.
Oh, yeah.
Who does my bookings and all of my appearances. He just called as I was getting on with you. I told him I was going to call him back. But he did get in touch and find out that Barry is staying with Rotundo, and he's getting better. I imagine he's going to have a long road back. You know, but it's good that he's got family, and I'm sure they're looking after him, taking care of him, and our thoughts and prayers are with him. And that was a close call.
Man, yeah, he's such a nice guy, quiet guy. When you know you sit down and talk to him, but what a hand, what a great worker, what a great wrestler. You put him with you, Tully and Flair. It's like holy crap, you can't get much better than that.
Yeah, he's incredible, man. Really, he was. And on either side of the ball, he was a fabulous babyface. As far as his work went, he switched gears over as a heel. He didn't miss a beat.
It's funny, when he was younger, you would think there's no way he's Black Jack Mulligan's kid. Now, looking at him, he looks like the spitting image of Black Jack Mulligan. You know what I mean? It's like he grew into looking exactly like his dad.
Yeah. Don't say that around Brock.
Oh.
The poor kid's 25, and people are already saying he's got the Anderson curse. He looks 37 already.
Yeah.
And it's not a happy subject, trust me.
But that's good though when he gets older, because they'll be like, "Wow, you know what I mean? Like he's gonna look, wow, Arn, you're, you know, I didn't realize you were that old. You look, he's so much younger. You know what I mean? He'll get that when he gets older."
Well, you and I will use that as like a rationalization. I'm not sure how true it is, but I'll go with that.
How is it working with Brock? I mean, that's pretty cool. You get to work with your son. You know, he's kind of, you know, stepping in your footsteps. He's the next Anderson for real, though. He's a real Anderson.
Yeah, he's. And you know what? He gets better every time. He has aptitude. He's got a wonderful attitude. He's very respectful. You know, growing up in this household, he knew to respect the business. And it's just a natural thing for him. And he's an intelligent kid. And he loves the business. And he's just, when he can get more reps, I think he's going to improve just a little bit each and every time. And I'm just so proud to be out there with him. I can't tell you. I really am. I'm a proud papa.
That's pretty cool that he gets to do that. And but there might be a little bit of pressure, too, because being your son, knowing how good you were, it's like, man, you automatically think in your head, even like Pillman Jr., it's like, he better be as good as his dad. You know what I mean? Kind of thing. It could be a lot of pressure for a kid.
I think that's a natural thing. Everybody that loves sports, you know, and they have an old school that they grew up with, and now there's a new school. The tendency is to knock the kids that are coming up. Well, he's not his dad. Well, he shouldn't be his dad. He shouldn't try to be his dad. If there's similarities in his work, that's fine. But he's had his own style. And he's a pretty athletic kid, but he's not one of these guys that's going to, you'll never see him do a moonsault off the top rope to the floor. It's just, he doesn't have the skills. I didn't have them. He doesn't have them. And all you're doing is setting yourself up for a short career when you do that, and you don't have the talent for it. And I think he knows that. But, you know, I've always had this theory, you can't win a match in the air. You got to win it on the mat. So there's a place for mat wrestling. For the, you know, it's okay to put a high spot in here and there and do a dive when it matters. You know, do a, whatever they call them, a plancha over the top. If it makes sense. If it don't make sense, you're just taking a risk. And I'm going to try to steer him clear of some of that.
To me, I might be more old school, but I love the guys that don't do that kind of stuff, because it's crazy. That actually makes them different, makes them actually stand out more not to do that stuff nowadays.
Yep. They're in the minority, that's for sure.
Not that there's anything wrong with the flippity-floppity stuff, but it just, it's just, I don't know, for me, it's certain taste as a fan. Sometimes there's a place for that, and sometimes it's overdone.
Well, it's like I used to tell guys when I worked for WWE, and, you know, they would want to do this fancy stuff, and I'd say, great, all I'm asking is your agent / producer is be better than Rey Mysterio at it. If you're better than him at it, have at it. If you're not, you're always going to look like you're second place. You know, and that was just my philosophy. You know, you don't want to look like a guy that is inept at what he's trying to do versus, well, I guess it just don't do what you can't do. What you can do, do well.
That's so true, because if you look at it, it's like, man, that was... You know what I mean? Like if you see like a Ricochet or somebody do something crazy, and then you see another guy do it, it's not as good. It's like, you automatically in your head are like, that guy's not as good as Ricochet. It's just like, do what you can do and don't try to copy someone else that you know, can do it better than you. I mean, it's great advice.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You're just hurting your own perspective of yourself. You know, you don't want to be a he's a poor man's so-and-so, or he's a third place guy, he's just trying to be so-and-so. You just be you and just be a real good you. And if you're going to get over and you're going to connect with the audience, if it's supposed to be, then it will be.
Do you think there's too many risks being taken nowadays? Like, because let's say you can't hit the move 10 out of 10 times, you probably shouldn't do the move, right? I mean, there seems like a lot of unnecessary risk out there sometimes.
Well, again, it's, you know, there's a lot of guys that have had less matches. I bet if you sat down and got truth serum out and gave it to a lot of these young guys and said, how many matches in front of a live TV audience have you actually had in your career? We would all be shocked. And I'm not talking about workouts at the school or whatever the deal is. I'm talking about live circumstances, live crowd, front of the pressure, being on with a national company. In this business, there's only one way to get better, is to wrestle someone better than you and have reps time after time, day, hopefully day after day after day. But, you know, that's the only way to get better. And the only way you get better is wrestling someone that has something they can teach you in the ring. They're just better than you are.
Great sound advice for sure. When you were coming up, though, who was like the guys that kind of helped you along and get to where, like, how did you get to be so good?
My first mentor, the first guy I worked with when I got to Bill Watts was Tim Horner. And he taught me a lot about having a wrestling match inside the ring, no punching, no kicking, no fighting on the floor. And that was Bill Watts' rules anyway. Ted DiBiase, who was working on top at that time, came out and did something that guys never did in those days. He would come to the curtain and watch my matches, and he would pull me aside and go, hey, that was pretty good. That stunk. Take that out. This was pretty fair. That was really good. And he would rearrange it in a way that I went, God, he is so smart. And he was on top. He was a top guy. He understood the business. He had been working for a while. And he had aptitude and the great attitude that he had. And that was the first couple of guys that kind of got me a foundation going. Certainly being in the ring or being around Tully Blanchard and Rick and, you know, that host of baby faces, for God's sake. And Ole, too. Ole Lynn did reality to a match. You would just watch him and go, oh, God, I'm glad I'm on his team, because he would be kicking that shit out of people, or so it appeared. But I think it was pretty snug, and that's where it came across. Tully was a credible worker. You know, all those baby faces, Rock and Roll Express, working with the Midnight Express. It was magic.
When you look at it, I was just talking to Tully not that long ago, and we were talking about you and him being a team. He said you guys were the best team. Did you look at it that way? Like when you, I know we mentioned some other great teams here, but did you look at it like we were probably the best team out there?
I thought we were, because we knew what our objective was, and that was to get the baby faces over. We were going to get our little chunk of time, 3 or 4 minutes that belonged to us. If we could spend the rest of the time we had making those guys look like superstars, then we just did something to strengthen the company, you know. And when it was our time to get it, we were just the best team. We had the best strategy. We worked like a team. We cut the ring off and we kept the guy out of reach for a tag, and we just kicked the shit out of him. And then whatever happened for a finish. But I felt like we dedicated ourselves to what was best for the match and what was best for the company and for what was best for the business.
He said, which is kind of rare, I guess, for him, that he went back and he watched some of your old matches, like at Rockers and MSG and stuff. And he was saying, man, how much you guys would bump and feed, and like your selling really made even like the Rockers, who are great anyway, but made them look even better than they were, which is kind of, you know, pretty impressive.
And that's our job. You know, there's nothing worse than a heel that wants to outshine the babyface, because what you end up doing is you end up splitting the crowd and you end up turning people to like you. And if they like you, they don't like the other guy. And that just makes for a mixed reaction. Your job back in the day anyway, was to be an asshole, be a vicious, nasty asshole that nobody liked and would pay to see you get your ass kicked. Simple formula.
Hey, Tully had that in spades, right? I mean, everybody hated Tully. I mean, you had heat too, but he was hated big time.
Shit, I had to keep an eye on him in the locker room. Hell, he might get beat up in the locker room, or at least attacked.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing, though, sometimes?
Well, it's a good thing. You know, I mean, he had heat with everybody. It translated to heat with the boys, with the fans. I mean, you could see him just walking down the airport. People were looking at him like, well, that guy's a dick.
Flair had that likable quality to him, though. You guys didn't, really. I mean, you guys are much more like, oh, I don't like these guys. You know, unless, like, me, I liked you guys. But, like, the true fans that are in the arenas are like, man, I don't like these guys. But Flair's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, that was his persona. I mean, who wouldn't want to have the sunglasses he had on, the shoes? Who wouldn't want to be the champion all the time? Who, you know, who wouldn't want to be driving a Mercedes, Rolex watch, the whole thing? You know, and we were, you know, Tully dressed nice. I was a little more dressed down. My job was to get in and do the fight, and that was it. And I'm sure not that many people grew up wanting to be me, but that's okay. Because every time I'm at one of these signings or something, I'll always have three or four people go, can I say something to you without you getting mad? I go, sure, man, go ahead. My grandmother hated your guts. Then I knew I was doing my job.
Yep.
So let's talk about you for a minute.
Yeah, sure.
What have you done in the last 8 years you're most proud of?
Well, if you go through like the list of guys like interviewed and stuff, just this year alone, had on Hulk Hogan, which is a pretty good one, right?
Yeah.
The Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Pretty good.
Yeah.
You and Tully came back on, which is great. So some pretty big names. Sting was Sting might have been last year, but some pretty big names. Pretty good accomplishments. Had like many years ago had Dusty Rhodes final interview that he ever conducted.
Wow. So
some pretty good ones. Bruno Sammartino is one of the last interviews he ever did. So some pretty good big names though accomplished.
Boy, you can hang your hat on the Dusty Bruno thing alone.
Yeah.
I mean, God knows. You didn't know at the time, but whew, that just gives me chills.
It's absolutely crazy, especially the Dusty stuff, because then I talked to Cody, then I talked to Dustin a few times. I mean, it was pretty cool. It almost bittersweet because we were joking around with Dusty that we're going to do more with him and, you know, we're doing this. And then obviously he passed away. So bittersweet because it's one of the things, it's like, wow, something to hang your hat on. But then I wish I could have talked to him a million times because he's such a, you know, he's Dusty. You know that better than anybody. He's Dusty.
Oh. You know, the strongest part of my career was the Crockett days, and he was our number one opponent. And I learned a lot about the business. I was able to do a lot of things for my family that most guys, to stay in a territory 3 years as a heel, it's unheard of. It just was. I mean, you can only get beat so many times. You lose your luster. And that horseman deal got over. It was a hell of a gig. And with, you know, everybody in both locker rooms, we were one family. And everybody was doing what they could do to help pull the load for the entire company. And, man, we were successful. But that list you just ran through, that's pretty stout, my man, pretty stout. Let me just say this. And I'm learning the social media thing and the podcasts and all that as I go. You know, I'm really pretty stupid about computers, obviously. let me just thank you and everybody like you that are a friend to the business, that help the business stay in a favorable light, help it grow, help it keep healthy. You know, I'm a wrestling fan, probably one of the biggest. I'm sure you are as well. And it's just, I'm so thankful that it's still out there and still flourishing and Brock can have a crack at having a job at the best business in the world.
That's awesome. Yes. And thank you for the kind words. Appreciate it. Coming from you, that's huge. One of my guys. Like I always said to you, I always liked you better than Flair. I love Flair, but I always liked you better. I always like, even Fall Brawl, I'm like, yes, Arn won. He beat Flair. Like that was awesome back in 95, just because it was one of the things where Flair always got the adulation, but Arn was maybe a better promo. Arn maybe better in the ring, but you know, everyone said Flair was, but to me, I'm an Arn guy. So that's awesome coming for you. Appreciate that.
Well, I don't know about any of that. You might not find too many people agree with you. But
I know somebody's going to fight with me about it, but yeah, too bad.
You know, and I never claimed to be better than him. I just claimed to be different. And the being different that I think I did have a little bit of a handle on was just don't talk at the people, talk to them and give them something that in their everyday life they understand. And that's all a promo is. It's connecting.
And that Four Horsemen promo, I mean, that gave all of you guys new life. I mean, you guys were rock and rolling anyway, but that promo that you did that night creating the Four Horsemen, put everybody on a stratosphere to the moon.
Yeah, it just clicked. It was just, don't ask me how, it just popped in my head, and I went with it, and it stuck. It didn't take but about a week or two, and the audience got it, and it was one of those things that comes along. That grouping of guys has only came along one time in this history of the business. I don't know that you'll ever see a more eclectic, skilled, gets it group of guys than the original Four Horsemen and the version with Barry. So we're very, very lucky.
I love the original. I love the one with Barry. I'll throw another one out there. They didn't get enough time together, but you, Flair, Benoit, and Pillman. I love that foursome. I love that group. You guys just didn't get enough time together.
Well, and we didn't have a company behind us. You know, we were just thrown together because it might have been a look good on paper, but you got to have the support of the creative. And I don't think we were ever meant to get a push. It was probably viewed that height mattered. If you've ever been in the ring with Benoit or Dean, height just does not matter. Trust me.
Yep.
So,
totally agree.
8 years. You think you'll have 8 more years?
God willing. I hope so. We got to bring you back again for the 16th year.
On the 16th year,
yeah.
Demand to be your guest.
Yes, yes. But before we let you go, though, before we talk about the 16th year, just tell everybody where they can get like that awesome orange shirt and everything, you know, about your podcast and everything about you.
Yeah, it's Box of Gimmicks. Go to my Twitter. At the Arn Show, there's a separate Box of Gimmicks. There's a Horseman store. Brother, we just got some sweet hats and we finally got somebody to do the jackets right. And they're available. They're on the website. Take a good look at them. I mean, they do the stitching on these like the original jackets. It's not like it's however they did the other ones. I don't know what would you even call that, where they had the Four Horsemen thing on the back, but it's like
embroidered, I guess.
No, embroidered's what we have now. It's the stitching. It's the real nice stuff. But it was like it was almost like you laid a piece of paper down with an iron and went over it. And,
oh, they ironed it on. Yeah, it's horrible. You
know,
yeah,
you know, so it wasn't what I was looking for. But now I got some pretty good headway going right now. And I'm trying to bring back the old Horseman stuff that if you didn't get a chance to get the t-shirts and stuff, and I'm trying to blend in some new and some old. And for all those Horseman fans back from the day, man, grab you one of those jackets and grab you one of those hats. So sweet.
That's awesome. I actually found not that long ago in a bag it was from 95. I had worn it as a kid, but I remember I bought a second one and I never worn it. So now it's like brand new. The horse, it just the you know, the letter with the horse coming through the old school, awesome 95 era, awesome horseman shirt. But I was like, yes, it's basically brand new right out of the bag.
That's the shirt.
Yeah.
In my mind.
Yes. My favorite one. Yep.
Yeah, man, it was some good artwork on there. So I got to get running. I got some stuff I got to take care of. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you.
Thank you, AA. Appreciate you. Have a good one. I appreciate it.
Stay in touch, okay? Bye, John.
This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron, and also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies, brother.